All right, being an effective manager, qualification number five, being a finisher, someone who gets things done. We're going to look at Nehemiah case study, the problem that Nehemiah faced, Nehemiah 1 verse 3. And they said to me, the remnant there in the province who had survived the exile is in great trouble and shame. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are destroyed by fire. So Nehemiah is in exile and the walls of Jerusalem 70 years before had been destroyed. The Assyrians had, or the Babylonians had annihilated them, taken people into exile. Daniel was part of that whole exile thing. But now they're thinking about coming back. And Nehemiah is still in a foreign land. He's the cupbearer of the king. And he hears some reports about Jerusalem. And some had gone back, and yet the walls were destroyed. The temple was not built. And so that's the problem that Nehemiah is like, you know, sad about this whole thing, the dream of the future and everything that God had promised, you know, had been destroyed. But there was the hope of it being rebuilt. And Nehemiah hears that the walls are destroyed and still burnt and no progress is being made. So action one, Nehemiah 1 verse 4, as soon as I heard these words, I sat down and wept and mourned for days. And I continued fasting and praying before the God of heaven. So Nehemiah, we're going to see, is a man of action. Before he does anything, he goes before the Lord. When he sees the hurt and he sees the brokenness, he himself is broken and he goes before the Lord. If you're planting a church and your heart is not broken for the church, if your heart is not broken for people that are lost, if it just doesn't tear your insides out, you might as well not plant the church because you will not have the motivation to carry through. And this is hurting Nehemiah to the core of his being. The walls are destroyed. Jerusalem is in tatters. And for him, that's the symbol of God's presence and God's plan in the world. So whatever it is that you're doing, if your heart is not broken for it, then you're probably doing the wrong thing. You have to have this passion, this energy for the thing that you're doing. Action number two, Nehemiah 2 verse 5. And I said to the king, if it pleases the king, and if your servant has found favor in your sight, that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's graves, that I may rebuild it. So he not only prays about it, it not only breaks his heart, but he wants to do something about it. When I had my first church, it was an established church. It was a 75-year-old church. And I saw that because the people were friendly towards outsiders, that they loved new people coming to the church, that the church doubled in size just because it was friendly. But then the Lord really laid on my heart a passion for people that didn't go to church. And I thought, well, if an old church is just friendly towards outsiders and people come, what if you started a church for that very purpose? We're going to start a church to actually reach people that don't go to church. So it was a passion. It was something that was breaking my heart, but I finally had to go do something about it. I went to the powers that be and I said, this is what I want to do. Will you help me do that? So that's what Nehemiah does. Action number three, Nehemiah 2 verse 17. Then I said to them, you see the trouble we are in, how Jerusalem lies in ruins, with its gates burned. He's talking to the people, his own people there in Judah. He's gone there now. Come, let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem, that we may no longer suffer derision. You know, the neighboring peoples are looking at the torn walls and the burnt bricks and saying, you know, this is the God of Israel. You know, this is his holy city. And so it was under derision. People were mocking. Verse 18, and I told them of the hand of my God that had been upon me for good, and also for the words that the king had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up and build. So they strengthened their hands for the good work. So Nehemiah goes and he, you know, he sort of sells the project. You know, this is no good. The walls are destroyed. Come on, we can do this. God is behind this. Even the foreign king is behind us. Let's do this. So you can see step by step. Now Nehemiah prays about it. He goes and looks at it. He then sells the people on this idea, and they get started. Action 4, Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So we built the wall, and all the wall joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. So there's all this enthusiasm, this energy, this huge task of rebuilding the wall. They don't have a lot of people, and yet they're working hard at it. They're going at it. That's what a manager does. He sees the need, assembles the people, sells it to them. Let's do this. And then they start working, and he's behind them all the way. Okay? Any good manager has to be able to accomplish stuff. Stuff that they can't do on their own. To unite the whole church, unite groups of people, teams of people to go do something. If a manager can't do that, then you're not really a manager. Okay. Well, they run into a problem, as you always do. You know, you're trying to get something done. You're trying to get people together to get something done. There are going to be some problems along the way. So here's problem number 2, Nehemiah 4, verse 7. But when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabs and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites heard that the repairing of the walls of Jerusalem was going forward and that the breaches were beginning to be closed, they were very angry. And they all plotted together to come and fight against Jerusalem and to cause confusion in it. And we prayed to our God and set guard as a protection against them day and night. In Judah, it was said, the strength of those who bear the burdens is failing. There's too much rubble. By ourselves, we will not be able to rebuild the wall. Okay. So there's a couple of threats. One, there's a threat from the outside. The neighboring nations are seeing these Israelites starting to rebuild the wall, and they're feeling a little threatened. So they're like threatening themselves. We have to do what we can to stop them from rebuilding the wall. We don't want Jerusalem strong again. So there was this threat from without. And often as a manager, there are threats from without. You're trying to accomplish something. You're trying to build a church. Let's say you're trying to plant a church. I remember when we were trying to plant a church, the first problem was the space. And we went to schools and we asked, can we use your space? And this township was against churches using the space. And this one had this problem. And you had to fight for these things. There were threats from the outside that wanted this to not get off the ground. But not only threats on the outside, on the inside, okay, the people start rebuilding the wall and they have all this enthusiasm and they're doing it. But then they look around and they see all the stone that's, you know, one on top of another. And they start, you know, when you begin something, you start realizing how much work it is. Before you begin, you look at something and you go, well, yeah, I think we can do that. But after working at it for a while, you realize this is a lot harder than you thought. And so we read here, there was too much rubble. We ourselves are not able to rebuild the wall. We can't do this. In the end, you realize, you know, what are we doing? We can't do this. Why is it hard to finish what you start? This whole section is called being a finisher. Having the tenacity, the will, the drive, the passion to start something and to finish it. Why is it hard to finish what is started? Number one, the enthusiasm of the new is gone. I mean, in the beginning, you have all this new stuff. Planting a church. We had a little team of people. We're going to plant the church. And everyone on the team was enthusiastic, and they were willing to work. Come in on Saturday, work at night. They were willing to do stuff. You go to the average church, you can hardly get 3 people to do anything. It's the same Christians. But the problem in a traditional church that's existed for many years is the enthusiasm wore out long ago. In a new church, there's all this enthusiasm and you can use it. New project, let's go. Projects in your own home. You're going to rebuild something. You're going to paint and you start and you have all this enthusiasm. You buy the paint, you have it planned out, get all the right colors. But about halfway through, it's like, this is a lot of work. The enthusiasm is waning. Number two, the task is always a lot harder than anticipated. We're doing this remodel thing in our church. I thought it would take 2 weeks. We've been working for 2 months. Probably won't be done for another 2 months. It's just a lot harder. I'm famous at our church for saying, how hard can it be? I look at things and go, well, how hard can that be? Apparently, things are a lot harder than I think they are because they end up being that way. So, you get tired. Number three, people get bored and want to move on to other things. With this renovation thing, I remember the first night I had people just show up and do anything. And a couple of people showed up and I gave them a sanding bar. You know, we had done something to the wall. You got to go around this wall. It's 80 feet this way, 60 feet that way, 80 feet that way, 60 feet that way. And you have to sand. They lasted about 15 minutes and they came back and said, you got anything else to do? Why? Because they number one, they got bored and they discovered this is a lot of work. It sounded like fun, everyone coming down and doing something. And it is fun for a half an hour. Then you get bored or, you know, it starts hurting. Number four, people are forever hopeful that the next project will be easier and more exciting. You know, they do something for a while and it's like, I'm tired of doing this, but oh, there's something over there. That's probably more exciting, and people keep bouncing from one new thing to another. So a manager has to fight all of that. How do we stay on task? How do we finish what we start? Action number five, Nehemiah 4, verse 13. Therefore, I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall. They had all these threats from the neighboring villages and countries that you know, were threatening to destroy the wall or even kill people. So I stationed some of the people behind the lowest points of the wall at the exposed places, posting them, this is interesting, posting them by families with their swords, spears, and bows. After I looked things over, I stood up and said to the nobles, the officials, and the rest of the people, don't be afraid of them. Remember the Lord who is great and awesome and fight. Who? For your families, your sons, and your daughters, your wives, and your home. When our enemies heard that we were aware of their plot and that God had frustrated it, we all returned to the wall, each to our own work. From that day on, half my men did the work, while the other half were equipped with spears, shields, bows, and armor. Why families? Why did he post them by families? Because people will fight for what is important to them. If you want your people to fight for your project, you need to appeal to what is important to them. Why are we doing this church renovation? It's so that we can worship God better and we can support one another better. See, I have to sell, not just this would be really cool, you know? You know, our old sanctuary is kind of old and tired. Let's just do something new. It'd be really cool. I mean, I think that. I think it will be really cool. But no one's going to do a lot of work because it's really cool. I mean, there might be a few artist types. But the vast majority are not going to do anything unless they can see that it makes a difference with the things that matter to them most. So as a manager, you want to motivate people? You have to appeal to what matters to them most. Action 6, Nehemiah 6, verse 15. So the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. I mean, so they worked hard. They got it done. Opposition to the wall. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence. Okay? So they defeated their enemies. They lost their self-confidence. But notice why. This is kind of interesting to me. They lost their self-confidence. Why? Because they realized that this work had been done with the help of our God. Okay? So they didn't lose their confidence because they saw the wall going up. They didn't lose the confidence because Nehemiah was such a great leader. They lost confidence because they realized that this is a project that could not be done unless God was behind it. They lost confidence because God was behind it. As a church, that's what I want people to see that we are doing. Yeah, we're trying the impossible. Yeah, our little ragtag group couldn't do this. But you know what? We have the God of the universe behind us. We're going to succeed, not because of us, but because He. And you know what? That's what people will see. They will see God. They will realize that we couldn't do such a thing. and God will get the glory. Proverbs 19:21. Many are the plans in a person's heart, but it's the Lord's purpose that prevails. Proverbs 16:3. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and He will establish your plan. So, you want to be a manager like Nehemiah. So what do? You know, you have this huge task in front of you. You have this impossible thing that you have to organize. You have this team of people that isn't united, and you just want to quit. What do? Bottom line, what does an effective manager do? He puts another brick on the wall. You see, that's all you have to do. Because you know what? God is the one that's going to build the wall. And when the wall is going to be finished, well, that's up to Him. Your job, your task is just to motivate, to do whatever it takes to get one more brick on the wall. And after that brick is on the wall, then you get the next one. All of a sudden, the wall is done.